It's time for Out of Bounds.
Two beauties!
With William Quackenbush.
Slow your roll. The show goes till three, loser.
And Ben Milstead.
My gosh, we need an intervention for you.
Be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson. Touchdown! Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out on the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold. Clemson's going to the Elite Eight.
Out of Bounds.
The center fielder at the wall.
It's out of here.
It's out of here.
Got the distance. Does it have the accuracy?
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Friday, July 24th, 2026. William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead. We are live at Scent Hound. Come by and see us next to Publix right off of Highway 123 in Clemson. We are just excited and elated to be here. We are dry. The dogs are wet, which is good because if your dog smells bad in the rain, you bring your dog out the Scent Hound. By the time it gets to the door, he or she will be ready for Scent Hound services. I think this is the perfect weather for a grand opening today for Scent Hound.
It was a brilliant marketing strategy, really, by Scent Hound to order the rain and let it progress like this. So the rain does look like it's clearing. So, and we are under a tent. There's some shelter here. And we'd love for you to stop by.
The pizza's dry. I can attest. Papa John's is here.
Yes.
It is free to the public, so come on out and see us. Get yourself some Papa John's pizza. Enjoy it. We've got a ribbon cutting in about 25 minutes, and so quite honestly, I love a good ribbon cutting. I know a lot of you do too, so if you want to be a part of this, you can come out and see us here in the next few minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody needs lunch. We're offering you free lunch here, and so get your free lunch, learn about a great new store here in Clemson, and you know, see William Quackenbush. That's always an attractive option.
How are you? You good today?
Yeah, I am. I think so. I think so. I'm good. I'm good. I'll just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. This is a bit of a weird. It's a Friday, sort of a cleanup show. We've got some things that we got to talk about, and then you know we've got Ben. We'll play the Ben Bulwer interview for you from last week as well as we sort of finish up sharing those one-on-ones that I was able to get with several Clemson coaches. You heard from Tom Allen yesterday. Ben Bulwer, more specific, but man, he said a lot of similar things to Tom Allen. When it comes to the linebackers and the defense in general, very easy to see why those guys are hand in glove together. We also have breaking news to start the show.
We do. You know, I was listening to the ESPN show that was on before us, and I thought, man, these guys are really hung up on LeBron James and the decision and where he's going to play. And I don't know that we've much even mentioned it. And I'm thinking LeBron's going to drag this out. I mean, you guys are upset about not knowing now. How are you going to be 10 days from now? And then we get this bomb dropped on us right before we came on the air?
Mere moments ago. This is LeBron James.
LeBron James.
LeBron James. At 11:30 a.m., a thread he posted on X, and I'll just read it. Some nice sentiments in here. I thought I was done when the season ended. I wasn't ready to announce it, and I knew I needed some time to really decide, but I was pretty sure I played my last game. I was honest at that last press conference when I said I needed to look at myself and decide if I still like – he misspelled decide, by the way. That's a tough scene. If I still love this game, I still truly love this game, and I have more to give. The last few weeks have really been special for all of us, LeBron. I've never been able to have no clue what to do and take real time to just think. Wow. I've had an incredible few months with all the people I love trying to figure it all out. This is my last decision. He'll never decide anything again. I'm not going for money. I'm not going for family. What am I really playing for at this point? I still want to sacrifice. I still want to work. I still want to grind. I still want to compete to win and to have a chance at the feeling of winning another championship. I believe I can help make the Philadelphia 76ers a championship team, and I'm so excited to energize a new fan base and start this incredible journey one last time. Thank you, L.A. This is ridiculous. Thank you, L.A. Miami, I'll forever love, and Northeast Ohio will always home, not even be home, will always home. He got tired at the end, but basically screw off all of you. We're going to the Sixers, and then praying hands emoji, whatever that long ear thing emoji is, and crown emoji, which you couldn't have a LeBron James tweet storm without the crown emoji.
You know, you always like to hear someone that you're about to pay multiple millions of dollars to. Not a ton.
Not this many NBA, millions.
But still, millions. You always love to hear that person say, why am I even playing? I mean, that's a great way to Quag. Day one of your new job, you know, 30 years from now, I want you just to walk in and say, why am I even really here? By the way, what time's lunch? Why?
This is
shocking. This is the most shocking, perhaps the most shocking decision that he has made. Going to Miami, that was certainly an option. I mean, it was down to two teams. Nobody was shocked about L.A. Maybe I don't even remember about him going back to Cleveland the second time. But I am genuinely shocked. Like, of all the teams, you know, this is going to be your swan song. Philly is the place that you're going to end your career.
Ben, huh. This is truly unprecedented, and we talked about this several weeks ago when the Golden State Warriors thing came out. And one of the things that I said, this is at the end of a show, so I kind of just got on and got off of it, was that I just don't know that there is a single historical parallel to a truly great player, one of the greatest players of all time, asking the question at any point in his career, so who can help me win an NBA title? That already has NBA titles. Karl Malone, we use example, Karl Malone at 40 going to the Lakers. Gary Payton at 36 going to the Lakers. And they put all those guys together to try to win with Kobe and Shaq, and the Pistons sort of thwarted that plan. We see this all the time with aging stars or aging players that either don't have rings or they just want to play a role and enjoy their career. But LeBron James is legitimately ring-chasing, and he's telling us he's ring-chasing. And he's won NBA titles in three different cities for three different franchises. We don't have a historical parallel for this. This is a move that players make.
Well, we do. Kevin Durant's been doing this for a decade.
I guess so. But don't you think that because Kevin Durant has been doing this, that some of the historical shine has worn off him some?
Listen, the people, there are many that will disagree with me. I don't think of LeBron James as a ring chaser here. I really don't. I don't think he doesn't need more rings. He's not going to play long enough to catch Jordan. That's what has me stumped. What is this about? Because he's won rings with a big three, with a manufactured team, as many others have. He has that. But he also won at Cleveland where that was not the case. And he was the reason they won a ring there. So, Durant, Karl Malone made it very obvious why he was going to L.A. But for, I don't know. He's a one of one here for me.
Well, that's kind of my point. Like, we don't really have an historical parallel for this. Because when we think of great players, well, I'll tell you who it is. I'll tell you who the historical parallel would be. And it's a little bit of a different deal because it's different sport, different position, different thought. Tom Brady did it. Tom Brady, now he didn't do it a bunch like LeBron, but Tom Brady did this very same thing. He had options. He chose to go and get one more in Tampa and then retired. And that there wasn't enough time. It's not like he went there with a five-year deal where they built around him necessarily. Now he had good pieces around him for sure, but he's kind of saying which supporting cast, which front office, which coaching staff can get me where I want to go one more time. I got a point to prove. I'm going to go prove it. So maybe that is a little bit of a parallel where at the end of Brady's career, he did leave the Patriots and go do something else, and he did win a championship, and he didn't need to.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I still don't – because everyone knew he was the best, I didn't think of him. I think of the ring chasers as people who have no alternative, no other way to – win a ring other than moving to another city.
Right.
And that wasn't the case with Brady. I don't think that's definitely not the case with LeBron. And listen, I'm not defending LeBron, but I do think we need to be fair in our criticism from the standpoint of, because I've heard this, we will hear more, Michael Jordan never did it. That's true. It also was a different time and a different place. That was not accepted. That was not the norm in the NBA.
Free agency was like 10 years old when Jordan retired.
Yeah, and players didn't demand trades and control the movement the way that they do now. There were cases where some people did, but this is how the NBA works, where once you are good enough, it doesn't matter what your contract says. You have a loud enough voice that you can make these choices, and so I feel like it's a little unfair to compare to an era where the culture was different in the NBA to now. The other thing, how many years has he played?
This 22?
Yeah.
Is this his 23rd season?
So when you've played 22 years and this is going to be your fourth team, that's not terrible.
That's fair. That's fair. In this era,
This will be his fifth team.
Because
of Cavs twice.
Yeah, that's right. You've been in four markets.
I mean, when you start thinking, when you think about it in that way, 22 years in the league, by today's standard, that's not a lot. I mean, Kevin Durant and, some of these guys, they'll do that in 8 years,
yeah,
10 years.
the best argument against what I'm saying is your argument about Kevin Durant, where LeBron, by historical, the greatest players in the sports standards, LeBron has moved around quite a bit. By the standard that we set for the greatest players, he's moved around quite a bit. With regards to his peers, he has not moved around quite a bit. He has not seemed as flighty and loosey-goosey and willing to jump and all this stuff. And particularly his direct peer, Kevin Durant, where I totally see your point. At Kyrie Irving, he wears out his welcome all the time in the places that he goes.
Yeah, and Jason at Columbia says Ben totally wiping Kyrie from the 2016 memory bank. Number one, yes, I am. But number two, I didn't think that was a good enough team to win the NBA championship that year. I didn't, and they were.
They took advantage right at the end of that final series. that series totally flipped on a dime. The Draymond suspension or whatever, like that, that was tough. That was really tough. Yeah.
By the way, forget what I said about the rain going
away.
Well,
it was. I mean, it was right at the time.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's almost raining in the tent right now. You should come out and see us anyway. We've got a ribbon cutting coming up in just a few minutes. When we come back, I want you to think about this. On a team with LeBron James, Jaylen Brown, and Joel Embiid, I want you to rank those players from best to worst in this big three that we have right now. We'll do that on the other side of the break. Stay with us. 654-ROAR is the number on the Adams Corbin text line. On the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines, the world's biggest scissors have come out. We'll be back for more at Sinhound and Clemson right after this.
If you're online, you've got the Roar at your fingertips. To the Rocky Mountains, you don't have to miss a minute.
You can catch your favorite show streaming live on the Roar app
or at theroarfm.com at any time.
The hardest it's ever rained anywhere for the duration of the commercial break, then we came back and it slacked off again.
When we went to break, it was, we're checking the tent, we're checking equipment. And then literally as the rejoin music started, it just turned off again. So, look, the guys here at Sinhound, they got it going on. They've got a connection to the weather. I don't know how they do it, but they got a connection to a lot of things. And, listen, I am not a dog owner, but I kind of know a good deal when I hear one and see one. And when the owner here was telling us what the monthly membership is and what all you get from that, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, what's the catch? Because this is way too cheap.
And that includes, by the way, their basic hygiene package for $35. You get a monthly wellness check. You get a service discount. You get 10% off products. You get member rewards over $50. And then you get what's called their month-to-month. And I'll let Scott walk you through that. But in the basic hygiene package, you get a bath. You get an ear cleaning. You get a nail clip and a teeth brushing in all memberships. You get all that for $35, okay, a month. Then you can add on things like a 24/7 virtual vet service, access to it all over, access to any Sinhound location. Rollover services, you can get that at $45 a month. At $65, you get unlimited rollover services. They get what's called the nail grind, where they do a little bit more. And really, the heart behind it is, these are the basics that a dog needs. If your dog needs something else, you can pay for it, but they're not going to make you pay for it within their package. I think that's great.
I do, too. And, you know, we do this for ourselves. I mean, basic hygiene are things that you need to do every month, and animals are no different. And to have a place that you can develop a relationship with, your dog becomes comfortable in that environment, and then you know exactly what you're going to do. I would forget these things, Quok. I would. I would not think about my dog's ears. I would have the dirtiest eared dog on the planet. That's why I don't own a dog. But if I had this, then, you know, if I know I'm paying for it, man, I'm doing that.
Hey, you wouldn't have to worry about it because they're going to take care of all this. The gland expressing, facial scrub, conditioning, plaque reduction treatment. They've got single shedding treatment. They'll do a blow dry and brush out, pad trim, sanitary trim. They've got all those options in-house at Sinhound. Right here, just off of Highway 123. You know, Orange Theory and Red Bulls all
here.
We TCDY.
Are right beside, I mean, the store right beside Publix.
So come on, see us. We've got Papa John's Pizza here that people are rolling through, thankfully. And we do have a ribbon cutting coming up shortly. All right, 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to get in. Adams Goodriffing text line and the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Jason in Columbia says this, and I said, basically, let's rank the big three here. This is the reality of – this is why this is important, okay? To me, these moves are important. We're going to talk about Major League Baseball trade deadline today, and we're going to keep talking about it for the next 2 weeks. To me, moves that move the needle for championships matter. This is a championship move for LeBron James. It's a championship move for the 76ers because, as Jason says – if all of the 76ers are healthy, big if, we'll get to that, LeBron could legitimately be the fourth best player on a nightly basis behind Joel Embiid and Jaylen Brown and Tyrese Maxey, and oh, by the way, you've got year two of Vijay Edgecombe, who is a very bright top five pick out of Baylor, who had some monster games last year and probably needs to, like, raise the floor, maybe even lower the ceiling, get a little more consistent. That's a heck of a starting five right there.
It is. I mean, and the 76ers were – I don't know what their odds were before LeBron James, but, I mean, they were – I got to think they had good odds to win it even without him. So, you know, knowing Jason, he is trying to bang on LeBron by saying that. But he's right here. I mean, and that's pretty strong. I mean, for – a guy that's still averaging 21 points and 7 assists, 6 rebounds, to add him. And here's the other thing. You're adding him for $4 million. $4 million. I mean, that's like minimum wage in the NBA right now.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second, because and this is going to be inside baseball. Some of y'all are going to just tune me out.
You don't have to trade away the rest of your roster in order to get him. That's a big deal here.
Okay, you're going to have to stick with me on this. Have you seen the Gary Trent stuff over the last couple weeks?
The way that you're setting that up, Sam, we need a nerd alert.
Nerd alert!
Whoa, wait a second, Doc. You mean to tell me this is a nerd alert? That's right, Marty. We've entered a nerd alert.
I was going to see how long I could go without triggering a nerd alert, but it was almost pre-done. It was almost pre-done. Yeah. Have you've seen the Gary Trent stuff?
I know you will.
Okay.
I have.
Sam, are you familiar with the Gary Trent controversy in Milwaukee?
I'm well versed in the ridiculous amount of money that he got, yes.
Okay. So here's what happened with Gary Trent, all right? And I'm going to tell you why this is important in the LeBron James deal. First of all, we have this the Los Angeles Clippers are still under investigation for Kawhi Leonard getting money under the table basically through a shell corporation set up by Steve Ballmer to pay him, okay?
He brought NIL to the NBA is what he has done here.
Basically, yeah, he circumvented the cap. It's like, egregious, and they're, like, in month 11 of this. I mean, they've been going at this forever, to the point that Kawhi Leonard was getting traded to the Raptors, and they said it can't happen. Like, that whole trade, Brandon Ingram going over there, can't happen yet. Okay. So, now we get to Gary Trent and the Milwaukee Bucks. Last year, Gary Trent signs a minimum salary contract with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, last year, the Bucks had Giannis for bukus of money. I mean, just like bundles of cash, right? They signed Miles Turner to a 9-figure deal. They had several large contracts. Brook Lopez, they had several large contracts on the books. They signed Gary Trent for a minimum salary deal. Gary Trent spends last year as one of the legitimately worst players in the NBA, like a truly horrendous player. So the Bucks sign him this offseason to a 4-year, $64 million contract. Now, Gary Trent, okay, Gary Trent, this is why this is ridiculous, all right? Gary Trent last year, statistically, I'm going to make sure I get these numbers right. Come on, don't fail me now. This is ridiculous. Gary Trent last year averaged 8 points, 1 rebound, and 1 assist a game and got $16 million a year. He is making this year double the years, 4 times the money of LeBron James, okay? At his age 34 season or where they played 65 games, 21 minutes a night. And there are people going, wait a second, what the heck is this? $16 million on a 4-year deal for this bum? Turns out they are now under investigation for circumventing the cap, for basically saying, hey, we want you here. You sign a minimum salary deal. We're going to just blow your mind next offseason. So we're going to pay you next year the money that you would have gotten this year. So they're under investigation for doing that. When a team in this NBA, where we've got that investigation into the Clippers, where we've got this investigation into the Bucks, when a team signs LeBron James, who almost retired, to a 2-year, $8 million deal, I am sitting there thinking, where's the other $40 million? That's what I'm thinking. Where's the other $40 million? Because this feels like cap circumvention is what it feels like to create a super team. And listen, in my opinion, if that's what it is, then go for it. I don't care. But if you're telling me that what the Clippers did with Kawhi is funny and what the Bucks did with Gary Trent is funny, I'm telling you, LeBron James is way more than a $4 million player.
Oh, 100%. Well, nobody would deny that. I mean, even if he had Gary Trent numbers, he would be worth more than $4
right.
million a year. Just what he does to your what he does for your franchise.
Bob Mahoney's worth $4 million to the 76ers.
All day long.
That's right.
Bob Mahoney's probably has a better jump shot, too.
That's right. You look at Gary Trent's numbers? You look at LeBron James' numbers? Absolutely. Then either one of these bums. I shouldn't say that about LeBron. He's not a bum. You see what I'm saying here? Like, it just, when I saw that number, I'm immediately thinking about, okay, this Gary Trent mess is ridiculous. This Kawhi Leonard mess is ridiculous. Philly did something. Something's going on here that I'm just missing. And I don't know what it is, but I can't get it out of my mind. And really, the only reason that I'm going there is because I'm bitter. And I just need to confess to you.
This all comes back to the Pacers, people.
I spent an entire year watching my team lose on purpose so that we could get a top four draft pick. And then we did not get a top four draft pick. We traded the fifth pick away for Ivica Zubats. I'm okay with it because Zubats is a really good player. But so that was a flop. But the promise is, oh, we're going to be healthy. We're going for it. We're going to get back to the finals. And I thought people were sleeping on the Pacers coming into the year. Can I tell you, Ben, I think the Sixers have the best team in the Eastern Conference. Better than my Pacers, better than the Knicks, better than the Celtics reconfigured, better than the Cavs, sorry, Sam, better than the Heat, better than everybody.
And I'm bitter because I thought he was going back to Miami.
And wouldn't the Heat have given him more than 2 years? They had way more space. If that's what he's going for, this can't have been about money because certainly the Heat, who just traded away half their team, I know they got Giannis, but they trade away a bunch of salary to be able to make that happen and create some space for LeBron. Certainly they would have offered him more than $4 million a year.
LeBron wants to walk off the court for the last time with the trophy. You can't blame a guy for that.
No.
You can't blame him for that. You know, he wants to ride off into the sunset with the trophy and that be that. And he's given himself 2 years to do that. This is a 1 year thing though, right?
I mean, I think so. I mean, he's probably going to take it year to year, I would think. He's probably going year to year. We could do the same thing next year. Maybe not this long, but we're going to wait.
Yeah. You know, the Sixers training staff, bless their heart, they already have Joel Embiid to deal with, and now you're adding in LeBron, which, you know, he stayed healthy this past year. He takes great care of his body, but those guys are going, "Are you kidding me?" You just signed a 40-year-old?
The issue with Philly is going to be, like, Joel Embiid is going to be the problem there. Because if Embiid doesn't play more than 50 games, then I think this is going to have a hard time working out.
Well, LeBron's used to that with AD.
Excellent. He wanted to play with AD.
He wanted
right?
to play with AD, and he did for, like, 27 games.
All right. I'm gonna make you guess this, all right? Potential of 243 games in the last three seasons, okay? 243.
In the last three seasons, okay.
How many games has Joel Embiid played?
He has played 147.
You know what? That's kind of close and way, way too positive about Embiid's availability.
He has played 111.
96 games.
Are you kidding?
Out of 243 the last 3 years. Now, when he plays, his worst year was 24-25. He played 19 games. 23.8 points, 8.2 rebounds, 4.5 assists, a steal, and a block. Unbelievable. That's his worst year by far. Last year, he played 38 games, 27-8-4 with over a block. I mean, that's unbelievable. Now, Sam gets in, and Sam, I'm going to let you say this out loud. How did the betting public / sportsbooks respond to the LeBron news?
They went from plus 2,000 to plus 900 in 5 minutes.
Oh.
To win the NBA Finals. Plus 900.
I would say jump on that now.
plus 2,000 is crazy, but plus 900 is still pretty good value. I mean, because think about it. The Knicks were so good. The Knicks, there's no way the Knicks are going to be that good again. The Pacers got there. I think it is plausible that the Pacers get back, but I'm not certain of that. I mean, after the injury to Haliburton and all that stuff. The Cavs aren't better than the Sixers. The Celtics aren't better than the Sixers. All this stuff. They're not better. I think that's worth it. I think that's worth a little wager there.
Now, Texture 2059 brings up, not the point that you're trying to make, but this is a good point. Texture says, four All-Stars on one team equal no title. The pressure, you're either winning a title or your last game is going to be considered a bust.
Ooh.
There is a lot. Am I right?
No, you're right. You're right.
Because you do have four All-Stars on one team.
There's another part of this I want to talk about when we come back. We got some college football stuff to talk today as well. Some Braves trade deadline stuff. Actually, I've given some bad news for the Braves where, like, the Dodgers felt like they were the favorites for everybody. I have some good Braves trade deadline news to share in today's show at some point. 654-ROAR is the number.
Come by and get some pizza.
Yeah, we're live at Sinhound in Clemson. I can't eat all this. Come back. Much more to come right after this.
Publix, their grand opening today. We'd love for you to stop by, see them, see us, and you know, get some cake, Papa John's pizza, just see what they're all about. Texture earlier, we were talking about the hygiene package for your dog. Mac texted in, got some coworkers that need some grooming. Got some coworkers that need some hygiene. So you can't send your coworkers here, but maybe, you know, use your dog as an example.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I love that.
Like, hey, buddy, my dog's cleaner than you. How about take care of those ears?
I thought you were thinking a little more passive aggressive than that. You're just straight out aggressive. Like, hey, your ears stank. My dog's ears are cleaner than yours.
Yes.
That's amazing. Oh, that's amazing.
I mean, why not?
Well done. That's well done. Oh, my goodness.
We did meet Tammy from Seneca.
Yes,
drove all
did.
The way from Seneca a while ago.
Man.
Appreciate Tammy coming by.
What a guy. What a guy. Or gal. Shahi. We'll keep that gender fluid. I'm just going to stop right there. I saw what happened to Sophie Cunningham, so I'm going to stop on that.
I don't know if people know where that even originated, but Roy Philpott used to, if you didn't say your name, he just called you Tammy from Seneca.
It was like 10 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
A lot of Tammy from Seneca's when we first were coming out with the text line.
We do like it when you give us your name.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We like to put names with phone numbers. That's really nice. There's one more thing with the LeBron stuff that I find really interesting and why I really like it for the Sixers. LeBron spent the second half of last year playing the third wheel, like on purpose, sort of. I don't know if you could say it was his idea, but he allegedly accepted that the Lakers were more Luka Doncic's team and Austin Reeves' team than they were LeBron James' team. Now, there could be some other reasons for that. You could say, you know, potentially LeBron knew he was leaving, and so, you know, it was a good way to pass a baton. It could be that he realized there were diminishing returns at the end of the regular season, that he just wasn't able to command 30 points a night. Now, he did in the playoffs. In the playoffs, he was scoring 25, 30 every night pretty much in the playoffs. But you look at some of the numbers in, like, March, April in a regular season, a lot of 12s and 14s and 13s. And, you know, he's still assisting, he's distributing, but with Reeves and Doncic, he was willing to be the third option.
He
and in Philly, I think he will too.
Agreed. Yeah, I think you'll see his assist numbers go up. Points down, assist up. He was also playing for a franchise and a front office that he hated. I mean,
I agree.
There was tension every day between him and the Lakers.
All right, Texter says this from the 803. It goes back to something that you said in the first segment, but I think it's worth a discussion. Because I think people are going to end up discussing it regardless. If LeBron gets rings 5 and 6 in Philly, what would be more impressive? 6 titles all on one team, or 6 with 4 different teams? What would be more impressive? You know, this sounds like I'm just sort of poo-pooing the question.
That's tough.
I'm not sure I would frame it that way. I think they're both impressive differently.
Yeah, I would need to know the circumstances, how those teams were constructed, because you could do it at six different teams, and obviously in today's NBA, you're constructing teams for that. I mean, you would have to have a front office buy-in in order to do that. But also, if you win six at one place, there's in today's game, there's zero chance that four superstars are staying in one location.
Right.
They're just not going to get paid enough. They could all do supermaxes going somewhere else. So then that franchise would also be. I mean, like, we're beyond the days that one player can win a championship. It's a team thing. One superstar is just not enough.
And that honestly, and I really don't want to get in this discussion because it's a loser. But
ask the Warriors. I mean, they.
Right.
I mean, the Warriors have seen it with and without.
That's right.
You're not gonna. I don't care how good Curry is. He's not winning it by himself.
When you do the thing where you compare players across eras, and you use championships to compare across eras, that's the fatal flaw. Is that 60 years ago, not every player had a Hall of. Not every team that you're competing with had a Hall of Fame caliber player leading it.
He's like this all the time.
Clay Sweeney's just a. He's just a bystander.
He's amazed at your arm movements.
Look, we need to nail this down. Like LeBron James is on a team. LeBron James is on a team next year where he legitimately could be the fourth best player, and they could win the NBA title as the fourth best player on this team. That is, and you know what? They're not going to be the favorite to win a title because the Spurs are better than the Sixers. The Thunder are better than this. Like, to me, they're better. Sam, I want you to know that Clay Sweeney's upset that Cleveland didn't get LeBron. I just want to get your thoughts on that and how you feel about Clay saying that.
Not thrilled either, Clay. Not thrilled either.
I mean, he's a Cleveland guy. Sam is a Cleveland guy, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's very upset.
And I wanted him back in Miami.
You know what I'm saying? Like we're all jealous. We all root for different teams and all this stuff. We are. We're all jealous that the Sixers maybe have the best team. But you know what I'm saying? Like it is. You're right. The era of this one guy is going to carry this team to a championship is over. And in fact, I would honestly say that it hasn't really been that way in decades. It's just getting increasingly more so. Like Larry Bird was the best player on the Celtics, but how many Hall of Famers played with Larry Bird? Magic Johnson was the best player on the Lakers, but how many Hall of Famers played with Magic Johnson? Michael Jordan was the best player on the Bulls, but how many Hall of Famers played with Michael Jordan? Like, you can't really point to great franchises that weren't built on multiple eventual Hall of Famers in the history of basketball for decades, in my opinion.
Agreed, and people are, well, back in the day, they never had the big three. Bull, have you paid attention to what the Boston Celtics have done their whole franchise? they did it twice before it was a thing. They just kind of snuck them in there.
Now, with the Celtics, they did have to draft them because it was pre-free agency, so they had to draft them, and they were homegrown, and they kind of stuck with you.
Now, listen, I grew up with the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Chicago Bulls team, and there were some of those teams where that's kind of the only two players you knew, Steve Kerr and – But
Tony Kukoc.
It felt like you never had a superstar big man for the most part. It was some, you know.
Luke Longley, yeah, Bill Cartwright.
It was guys of that ilk.
Horace Grant. Shout out to Horace.
Yeah. So that's what I love. Would we ever have a team where a couple of guys stayed together like that for their whole career? And I know Michael went somewhere else, but he didn't really. He was always a Bull.
I truly don't think so anymore.
I mean, Draymond and Steph might be the closest to that. In fact, I guess they would be.
That would be the closest because there has always been a clear number one and number two delineation. Like Steph has always been the number one, and Draymond's always been the number two.
That's right. Then that's their core. Of the team, and you see that right now. It's and then you add Jimmy Butler, and it's still not enough.
Right. I mean, my my thing is, if you look at maybe the best example of when it felt like two legitimate superstars complemented each other very well is the Celtics. When they had Jason Tatum, they had Jaylen Brown, they made the run to a championship, and they seemed like, man, these two guys, they're similar enough and they're dissimilar enough that these guys could do what Jordan and Pippen did. Like, these guys could legitimately do that. And whether it was personality-driven or whatever, Jaylen Brown basically just decided, that ain't happening. Like, he just decided, we're not doing this. You mentioned Kevin Durant's restless leg syndrome that he gets after a month with every team. He just can't sit still. He has no capability of doing that. I don't think, with the possible exception of the Warriors, I don't think that you can do that. Not long term. Maybe one contract's worth 3 years, 2 years, but not like a multiple championships. Here's a Batman, here's a Robin, I'm going to re-sign to be the Robin, that kind of thing.
Yeah, a couple textures reminding, Dennis Rodman was on that team too, and he does not get enough credit, by me anyway, for what he did for those teams. He wasn't on all those championships, so.
Right.
But yeah, valid point.
Now, I will say,
the Bulls did a remarkable job of finding the right pieces, though.
They also had a Hall of Fame coach, by the way. Yeah. Phil Jackson, Hall of Fame coach, able to make those pieces work. Had a system that made it work. Jason Columbia says, you can't compare winning a title as a third or fourth option what MJ did six times as a scoring leader of the league, first team all defense, finals MVP.
I wasn't comparing the teams.
I wouldn't do that. But it wasn't, which is more impressive, Jordan or LeBron. It was six titles with one team versus six titles with four teams. You may have been thinking Jordan or LeBron, but I'm thinking abstractly. You would need to answer more questions. And I think they're both more impressive. I mean, think about it like this. If you do it with one team, that means that likely they built around you several ways and you had success. On the other hand, they had to build around you or with you a bunch of ways in a bunch of environments with a bunch of coaches and a bunch of teammates, and you were able to win. Is that not also impressive? I mean, I think it is. Think about how hard it is in college sports right now. If you're Arch Manning, Texas has built three different teams around Arch Manning. Or let's say two plus. Different teams around Arch Manning. If you're a quarterback in Cade Klubnik, Clemson built three different teams around Cade Klubnik. That happens now every single year. It's one at a time. That is hard to do, even in the same place, much less four different places and different environments, different fan bases, owners, all that stuff. All right, short break. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Scott Sampson in the second hour of the show. We're also going to talk some college football. I want to talk about playoff contenders in the SEC. I'm excited to do that. We're live at Sinhound. Come by and see us right next to Publix. The rain once again is slagged off. This is your window, people. This is your window. Papa John's Pizza's here. They've got cake, too, on the other table. Hour two is next. WCC.